Hello, lovely people. Welcome back to Flow Insider. It's still me, Nadia, and I'm talking to a big-time adventurer today. Kat Eckelbaum-White is my guest for this episode, and she lives near the gorgeous Austrian mountains. Kat is an adventure wedding photographer, and I'm going to leave it up to her to explain exactly what that means in a minute. But basically, she photographs couples who get married in the mountains, on skis, on snowboards, climbing, or doing other wild things that you wouldn't normally connect with wedding photography. But Kat is all about encouraging people to do what fits them and their story, their personality, instead of throwing a good old traditional wedding party. In her coaching program for photographers, she does the same for her peers, encouraging them to do things their way for them and their well-being. This is a really good one. I hope you enjoy and stay tuned for the outro where I talk you through the things that stuck with me the most. See you on the other side.
You're listening to Flow Insider, a podcast for creative entrepreneurs who want a fresh perspective on business, communication, and art.
Hi, good morning, Kat.
Good morning. Hi.
Hi, how do you feel today?
Yeah, good, thank you. Yeah.
How is your arm, or where's your injury?
Oh, yeah, I've hurt my shoulder, climbing, yeah.
Ooh, climbing. Climbing what, mountains, or like inside, indoors?
Yeah, so we built a bouldering room in our spare room here. We converted it. Yeah, exactly. Who needs a guest room when you can just convert it into a bouldering room? And yeah, I did that. I overstretched it, pulled something. And so it's been about 2 months and it just won't heal. So yeah, I just started physio to hopefully try and get it fit again.
Okay. Well, good luck with it. I hope that goes away soon.
Me too.
And you can climb in your boulder room.
Yeah.
I love that. Do you need like really high ceilings for that in your house?
No, not really. No, we've just got like normal height room. Yeah, it just means you don't have very far to fall. It's not the most challenging. You have to make it more challenging by my husband is the one that just sets ridiculous routes. You haven't got very far to fall, but you just have really weird moves.
Yeah, I can imagine, like, in a normal room, like, that must look very interesting.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's the odd picture of it on my, like, Instagram feed. Certainly on my personal one, I'm not sure about my business one, maybe. But, yeah, it was a lockdown project.
you reached that stage of lockdown, I see, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was, when we bought the apartment, it was the plan anyway, and then the first lockdown we were a bit too slow, and then as soon as they let us out of first lockdown, it's like, right, we're building this in case we have a second one. And thank goodness it was in place for the second lockdown, and then I broke myself. No. So
and this happened. Well, I hope you can go back to it soon. Sorry, I was just really curious, like, how that worked in a home. But that's
I'll share a picture with you later.
Okay, great. Yes, please do. I'd love to know more about you, other than you love climbing.
Yes.
Could you give us a little introduction? Like, who are you? Where do you live? What do you do? Why are you here?
Yeah, of course. Hey, everybody. My name is Kat. Very ridiculous surname. My surname is Eckelbaum-White. I am British originally. I live in the Austrian Alps. I've been here for 10 years now. I have a very bizarre story. I grew up in the UK. I have a music degree. Never have no background in photography at all. I was working in the arts. Had the kind of, I call it my midlife crisis around 23 of going, this is not where I want my life to be. Did a random ski trip to the Alps and went, this is nice. Quit my job. Did a ski season. Decided I didn't want to go back to the UK because I was desperately unhappy in my job. And so I became a ski instructor, as you do. I traveled the world a bit just following the winter, doing back-to-back winter seasons as a ski instructor.
I love that. Both people follow the sun and you follow.
I followed the winter. I mean, I'm a pale British person. Like, I can't do sunshine or anything above room temperature. I die. And so I followed the winter. Met my husband after a couple of years doing ski instructing. He's a Dutch person, hence the very strange name that I have. So he was also a ski instructor in Austria. He was about to do his master's in Innsbruck, and so I kind of was like, can I move to Innsbruck with you? And I was like, I suppose so. It's kind of tagged along, and we just stayed here. I never picked up a camera. I had no kind of interest in photography. He was sort of interested in it a little bit because of the whole architecture side of things. I'd really only taken travel pictures until then. And then it was only getting married for our own wedding that I started to take an interest in wedding photography. And it became the most important aspect of our own wedding. And then after our wedding, I was like, do you know what? I really want to become a photographer. So I bought a camera and was like, I'm going to start a photography business. And that was, we got married in 2014. And in 2015, I went to the Chamber of Commerce to get my business license. And that's kind of where it all started. And I guess from there to now, I started off doing fairly traditional weddings, but realized I'm not a traditional wedding kind of person. I just felt like an alien in that world. Even our wedding was kind of traditional. It was very small, but we kind of did it as traditional as we thought we had to, but it still just was, I would do it differently now, knowing what I know about weddings. But I kind of slowly realized, maybe there's a different way to do weddings. And that's how I also found my way into like the adventurous weddings and the elopements. It was quite an organic process of realizing I can be myself within the wedding industry, and there is people who actually resonate with that. And that's kind of how I found kind of my place in the wedding world.
How did you manage to do that transition from shooting those traditional weddings to then it was clear to you, obviously, after a while, okay, this is not it, and I want to do elopements and adventure, which we're going to talk about in a minute as well. I love those wedding photos you take of couples on like snowboards, and like it's just amazing. How did you then practically go about that transition? What were the steps you took?
It took a lot of encouragement at that point. Also from, I did have a business coach by that point, because there was a lot of kind of me going, I don't know that that's a business. I don't know that I can do that. Is that really a thing? Can people really do that as a business? And I'd had a kind of a taste of it. Like, I did that thing, especially I think when I started, people did. I would say I was one of the Jasmine Star era photographers of just blog about everything, share your whole life, like share, almost too much information about what you're doing. And so for me, that was, well, my weekends are, I'm going skiing or I'm going hiking. And so because when I first started as well, I wasn't really shooting much. And a lot of the weddings that I was shooting weren't exactly like stuff that I was like, oh, I want to share this with the world. It's like, well, I need to market myself, but I'm not super excited about it. So I was really posting more about the skiing stuff. And a couple of people found me doing that. So I was like, oh, well, I'll just keep sharing the personal stuff. And a few people kind of reached out to me like, oh, we want to have, you know, a wedding on the ski slopes. Do you reckon you could do that with us? I was like, yeah, that sounds awesome. Let's do it. But I still didn't have the confidence to go, that's a business, like just doing those kind of things. And it did take the kind of the kick up the backside from my business coach to go, you can just do that. If that's what you want to do, like you can do that. And there is value in that because there is enough people who also want to do that. Because I think there was that thing of, but I need to make a living. And she's like, well, how many weddings are you wanting to shoot a year? Like 50,000? I was like, 20. And she's like, well, do you think there's 20 people in the whole of the world in Europe that want to do that? And I was like, probably, yeah. She's like, okay, well then, do you think you can find 20 people a year that want to get married on the mountain? I was like, yeah, that sounds doable. And so that kind of gave me the encouragement to go, okay, well, let's try changing the way I do stuff and actually put more of me into it and know that there's people like me. Also coming from, I was that bride who was like, I have to have this quite traditional wedding, even though I felt like a total alien. Like going through the whole wedding dress shopping process, dressing up, wearing heels that I couldn't walk in. I was like, put me in ski boots, I'll be fine. But high heels, oh my God, I hated it. Like if I'd have known, if somebody said to me, actually, you could like go heli skiing on your wedding day, I would have been just like, oh my God, sign me up. My husband as well would have been just like, yep, like, no question. Yeah. And so like, for me, I needed almost that permission from someone else, I think, to say you can do it. And then from there, once I'd given myself, I needed someone else to give me that permission, to give myself the permission to say, okay, you can do it, you can go for it. Then actually it was really easy because I knew that it aligned with kind of my life, my direction and where my passions were. So it was like, okay, well, I know how I can help these people. Like I know what my target audience wants. I know where their struggles are. I know why they don't want to have a traditional wedding.
Yeah.
So I just talked to them, like, and let them know that I understand their problems. So I used that through my website. I used that through my social media. And that was kind of easy. It was the difficult bit was having the courage to actually own that. Yeah.
Isn't that funny that when it comes to weddings, people's minds go blank? Like whether that's the wedding photographer or when we start out, obviously, in that industry, or that's the wedding couple, it's almost like they don't know they can do things differently. Like, although it's obvious, like, yeah, of course you could do that on your wedding day. It's obvious, like, yeah, you can do whatever you want. But for most people, it's almost like they just go blank and they follow whatever they've seen. They follow whatever the family says, whatever society says you should have at a wedding.
Definitely. I mean, even for us, it was, you know, we met, my husband and I, as ski instructors. We met in a ski resort. For the first year we were together, we finished the ski season in Austria, and then he came with me because I already had my job teaching in Australia in a ski school over there, and he came with me for that. So, you know, the first year we were just working as ski instructors, and it was like, that is our story. Our life was built around skiing, and so we were like, that should be part of our wedding. But we kind of said, oh well, it makes kind of sense for us to have a summer wedding, because as well as like, I'm not sure how a winter wedding would work with having our families. And then we were like, well, how can we include skiing somehow in a summer wedding? And everyone's like, you can't have a ski themed wedding in the summer. Like, and that was what people were saying to us. And there was me just going, yeah, but why? Why can't I have a ski-themed wedding? And I was like, but I want to have photos on our wedding day with our skis. And people were like, oh, but that's so tacky. And I was like, but if I want to do it, like,
yeah,
it was kind of just that thing of, Exactly. And there was always that draw of, but this is what I want. And then that thing of somebody would plant the seed in my mind of, oh, but that's so tacky, or you can't do that. And there was always that draw of, but this is our story. Oh, but that's so tacky, or that's so cliche. And there was things for me, like, I didn't care about flowers on the tables, because I was like, we're not here. It wasn't about decorations. It was about having a small celebration with a small group of people. But then someone was like, oh, but you have to have flowers. And I was like, but I don't want to spend money on that. And it was all these little things of, you know, and I wasn't in the wedding industry, so it was difficult. I didn't have anyone to say to me, no, you don't have to. And it's difficult, isn't it? When, you know, yeah, for also for people when you work in the wedding industry to go, this is how you have to be as a photographer, this is how you should market your business. You know, it's there's so many almost kind of perpetuated falsehoods of, this is what you should be, this is how you should do stuff. And it's hard to be the one to stand up and go, screw it all, I'm going to do it my way.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, this is the template and everyone has to follow it. But no, actually, you don't. And yeah, you might piss off a few people on the way, but that's okay. Like, as long as you're able to be true to yourself and your vision, that's the most amazing thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's it, isn't it? And you know, I think that's when you know deep down that what you're doing is because it is in alignment with who you are and what you believe, then you can do it with kind of this knowledge of, I'm doing it for the right reasons. And you know, it's still incredibly scary, but it's a different kind of fear, because it's that kind of, I'm doing this because I need to do this, like, and like, if I don't do this, I'll regret it.
When it comes to business, what do you think is the thing that holds people back in doing that? Like, you, in preparing for this, you have mentioned this is a topic you've like immersed yourself in, especially during lockdown.
Yeah.
You want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so it's something that, so it's especially as a climber, and as someone who does a lot of also like backcountry skiing and things, fear is something that I've started studying a lot. Because I think in extreme sports, it's, you know, even for someone like me, who is the world's most average climber, like, I will never be a top athlete, but I think it doesn't matter what level you are at, when you're doing like an adventure sport, it's something that you're very obviously confronted with. And if you want to progress in the sport, you have to confront it. Like, there's no way that you can train your body as much as you want, but you know that if you want to get to a higher level, you can't, yes, you can get physically stronger, but what you need to train is your mind. So I started doing a lot of reading around fear. And as I started reading so much about it and learning so much about it, it was so interesting how much stuff I was learning. I was like, this isn't just about sport. Like, so much of this really comes back to so many other areas in life, and business as well. And looking back at the reasons of why fear comes in. And, you know, often, you know, fear obviously is there to protect us. And it's something that people, when you start to feel fear, you back away from it because it's an unpleasant feeling. But it's something that you're never going to be able to completely avoid in your life. Or if you do, usually it's a very unfulfilling life. And, you know, then as you start to explore those feelings around fear, looking at actually the different types of fear. And one of the things that I've found really, really quite eye-opening is that, and this I've experienced, you know, in my own journeys through business as well, is that often people think fear is all around a fear of failure, that people are afraid to fail because, you know, it could be their ego, you know, that gets, it's fear of failure is a really obvious one. You know, it's like, I might lose money. I'm investing so much time in this. And if it fails, what will people think? But sometimes actually that another really big one, which people don't address, is there's also a fear of success. And that can be a huge one, where sometimes like imposter syndrome can come in, or self-sabotage can come in, of the people have this, you know, I really want to go for a goal. I really want to build my business to this new level, but they actually have, you know, blocks around, you know, I want to reach this new income goal, but they actually have, you know, beliefs from when they were growing up of what it means to have money or be wealthy, or this idea that, you know, I want to be fully booked next year, but also they're also saying, you know, I wish I had more time to travel or more time for my family. So there's this clash of, I want this success, but there's also a part of them saying, but I also don't want success, because I've got this kind of disconnect of what success actually means. So there's all these different reasons why this kind of fear can creep in of, you know, what is it that they're actually afraid of? And so that's kind of a lot of the stuff that I've been exploring, yeah, during lockdowns 1, 2, and 3.
There's so many layers to this topic. It's fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. And I think that the first kind of steps are really like when you feel kind of any fear or resistance, it's going deep into doing this like fear analysis of, you know, where is this fear coming from? Because sometimes it's really obvious of, you know, I don't want to get hurt. You know, especially when it, sports and stuff, it's really obvious. I don't want to get hurt. So, you know, I don't want to, or, you know, even in business, I don't want to look like a fool. I don't want to lose money. But yeah, sometimes it can be, you know, coming from a place of, I don't want to, you know, if you're in a peer group where, you know, the constant theme is everybody's struggling, that your fear is that you won't fit in anymore if you suddenly seem to be the one that's actually succeeding, that you're worried that you won't actually be accepted anymore because you'll have to leave that struggle behind. And so actually being able to sit and analyze, yeah, where is this fear? And you really do have to take the time to kind of sit and go, you know, what are the, basically, you know, what is this fear? What are the risks? What are the consequences of this thing that I'm afraid of? But sometimes it's going, why does this thing matter to me? Why is it this something I'm pursuing, especially when it's business? And actually kind of asking yourself as well, especially because a lot of the times in business, when it comes to something that, when especially with things like imposter syndrome, you know, that kind of, oh, I'm not good enough, asking yourself, well, how would I feel if I gave up, or if I saw somebody else launch this new thing that I'm trying to do, if I saw somebody else launch this tomorrow, or if somebody else won this award that I really want to do, how would that make me feel? You know, if you're feeling these feelings of feeling triggered because somebody else is doing something, asking yourself, why is that? Why is it that those things are upsetting you? And is it because deep down it's this feeling like that's something you were supposed to do? And going back to, yeah, where are these fears coming from that you're not doing it? And it can be quite a revealing kind of process.
It's like a domino effect. Like, you ask why or where, as soon as you ask a question, it's like one question sets off this massive journey and like everything like crumbles in a good way. because it just reveals everything that has to be revealed, right? And it's funny to me that we start a business thinking we have to focus on the businessy stuff. And this is, you know, these are the steps, and this is, and the marketing and the branding and all of that, which is obviously all very important. But then there's this layer, which is actually the most, the foundation that you have to work on. And that's yourself. That's basically therapy and your growth.
Yeah, absolutely. And so many of these fears, these issues that can come up as well, are things that we've had like from such a young age that for a long time have kept us comfortable, have kept us safe. And it's actually looking at, you know, is this something that I need to let go of now to actually, is this serving me now? You know, do I need to actually let go of this in order to be where I want to be?
It's like, do I still need that protection? I'm not a child anymore. Like, I've had that mechanism in place for whatever reason in the past. Yeah. But now I'm a grown up. I'm not in that situation anymore. I don't need that protection. What is going on? Like, do I need to have that mechanism in place? It's just so it's just so interesting. Growing up is amazing.
It is. But I think that, you know, the thing is, often, you know, when you are building a business, you are so focused on strategy, on, you know, and I'm a very masculine energy person a lot of the time, of I need strategy, I need to-do lists, I'm an Enneagram 3, of I'm an action goal setter, all of this. And so, you know, it's taken, and I need, you know, I've really kind of made a lot of the big changes with the help of, you know, for me was with a coach, of actually to say, okay, but sometimes you need to actually slow down and sit and go, why aren't you achieving some of the things that you're saying that you want to? Because there's some things that, you're putting these blocks up in your own way to stop you, because in some ways you're keeping yourself safe, because it's the, you know, also those things of, I'm saying I want this, you know, I'm saying that I want to have, you know, maybe a brand, you know, win an award and have a brand that people recognize. But on the other hand, I like to be invisible, because when I'm invisible, then I can't get criticized and nobody knows me. And it's that thing of, well, if I want to be known, then I have to put myself in the spotlight, and then I might be open to criticism. And it's knowing that, knowing that you're doing these things to actually hinder yourself, knowing that recognizing you're actually taking these steps to kind of to sabotage yourself.
That's so good, because you can't have it both. You cannot have it both. You cannot have, you know, that comfort and that safety and that success you want at the same time. Like, you have to give one up. It sounds like having a business coach was very crucial for you and your business.
Definitely it was. It was, because I am the achiever, the kind of action plan person. For me, it was always, I could have goals and to-do lists, but I could never... For me, I couldn't identify the reasons why sometimes I was achieving a lot, but there was often, disconnects there. And, you know, there was, you know, even just things like not understanding how to really identify like my ideal client, and having almost that permission, things like that to go with it, being able to... The permission, the to moving past those fears of the imposter syndrome of who am I to do this? Who am I to, you know, be the one to take couples who want to ski and photograph it? Who am I, to say, I do this and I don't photograph these kinds of weddings and I don't do this. And it's scary.
It is. But whenever I have that thought, I have it all the time. Who am I? Why me?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why would I do this? Why would I achieve this? Whenever I think that, I always tell myself sometimes like out loud, why not me? Like, who am I not to do this?
Yeah.
Because there's so many people who are doing the stuff I want to do, and not because they're better than me or any like more special than me. Why the hell can I not do this?
Yeah. And so I have like some things written on my, I have a board behind me, like behind my computer, with some questions of like things that, you know, I ask people in coaching sessions, but also that I ask to myself sometimes, of like saying, you know, if I ever have the thoughts of, you know, I'm not good enough. And then, so I have things like, you know, questions like to ask myself, like, yeah, compared to what, compared to whom? And you know, and says who says I'm not good enough? You know, and maybe it is one troll on the internet. It could be.
It's so subjective, because even, you know, if you get a rejection or you don't get a booking, or you get criticized, like for that criticism or that rejection, there will be someone else who loves what you do, like, and who will book and who will go with your vision. Like, it's so subjective. Like when we say, you know, we're not good enough for this client or for this publication or for that, you know, income, whatever, like it's so subjective, because there's always people who will spend more. There's people who will love what you do because they align with it. So
absolutely. And it's always that thing of asking yourself, but what would happen if I could, and what would happen if I did do it? And actually taking yourself, instead of going on the, but you know, but I can't, and I actually taking yourself to the other side of picturing, you know, what would happen and how it feels when you actually have achieved these things, and actually feeling those feelings of when you have done it and how amazing that feels, knowing that that is what you're supposed to do and that is what aligns. And I think when you connect with those feelings, and it's one of the reasons why I do things like vision boarding, even though I always say I don't believe in manifesting and I don't believe in all the woo-woo stuff, like the two times in my life that I've done a vision board, like I did one again this year. The last time I did one, I think it was 2 years ago, and I finally checked off the last thing on it. Everything on it happened. And, you know, I believe in the science behind it all. But, you know, I believe that, you know, that your unconscious mind will see signs, you know, that there's this thing of confirmation bias, that you, you know, you become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that if you believe you, you know, the, you know, there's the quote, if you believe you can, or if you believe you can't, you're right. And so, you know, if you have images of things that you want to achieve, things that you want to happen, I put them on a vision board, because it doesn't matter if I don't know how they're going to happen. Like, your unconscious mind will look for signals that you won't even know what they mean necessarily to start with, but it will put you on that path. So just as, you know, if you're in this kind of negative spiral of I can't, I'm not good enough, you will always see signs that prove it. If you want to change the script and actually get out of that and, you know, believe, no, I can do this, I am good enough, then you fill your space with those things that, you know, show you that you are awesome and that you can do it. So, you know, you put all these symbols around you that, you know, you have your awesome testimonials from clients, you have positive images, so that you're actually just seeing this positive reinforcement all the time. And your unconscious mind picks up on this, and it just makes a huge difference.
I can already tell you're a great coach and very encouraging. Can you tell me a bit about the Adventure Wedding Academy? What is it? What do you do there? Why is it called Adventure Wedding Academy as well? I'm really curious.
I mean, it kind of is evolving, definitely, in its kind of life already in the last couple of years. I mean, it started as a kind of something extra from, obviously, my brand, my life as a wedding photographer that does adventurous weddings and elopements, because I was getting people coming to me who wanted to learn more about you know, building a business in the same kind of niche, learning about these types of weddings. And so mm-hmm. I wanted to create kind of a space that focused on giving people the chance to experience, you know, what it is like to photograph couples in the outdoors. So that was where the workshops kind of came in. That's where it started. But I've got this background in teaching from being a ski instructor. Before that, I used to be a music tutor. I've always loved just working with people and kind of just helping people to achieve whatever it is that they want to achieve. So it also then just evolved into mentoring and coaching as well. And so the events of Reading Academy really is just on helping people in business, and it is mainly wedding photographers looking to build their businesses. And I work mainly with people looking into working more in adventurous weddings and elopements. But my main focus is helping people who really want to work within a certain niche. But also I try to help people focus on creating more balance within their business. So for me, it's not just about focusing on just business, but making sure that they're also looking at a good kind of mindset towards their business too. So we will look at business strategy and marketing, but also making sure that we do look at mindset, any kind of blocks, any fears that are driving them. But I will also, you know, challenge them to, you know, say, okay, well, what are you also doing to focus on self-care at the moment? How are you taking time off? And making them also kind of prioritize their own well-being as a human, as a business person, as well as just their business. Because, you know, I say, as you know, the motto is less work, more adventure. And, you know, for me, adventure is going out and spending time in the mountains. But for some people I know, for some of my clients, adventure is more time with their family. And I believe that, you know, business, creating a sustainable business, and I don't mean sustainable as in just in a green sense of, you know, recycle more, but as in sustainable that it's in the long term that it also sustains you as a person, not that you're burnt out in 2 years. Because I think that's also a massive problem in our industry, that people focus so hard on building a business, and they grow sometimes quite quickly, and then they realize they've built something they can't sustain because they're burnt out. And so for me, with the Adventure Wedding Academy, there was always that focus on, I don't like the term balance, because balance is something my coach has kind of instilled in me, is balance infers as a tipping point. So the idea of a blend, of having a good blend between work and your own personal life as well. So that's kind of everything I try to bring in with the Adventure Wedding Academy.
As a wedding photographer, how do you bring that blend? How do you create that good, healthy blend of wedding photography? And because I mean, I know it can get so crazy. You're like so driven for like and focused for like 9-10 months out of the year, like a crazy person, and then boom, suddenly it stops. For some people. For some people it doesn't stop really. But how do you create that beautiful blend?
For me, it comes down to many factors. So one of the big ones for me was, even right from the start, was looking hard at my pricing structure and at how many weddings I wanted to do within the year. I'm very lucky that with a lot of the adventure weddings and elopements, they're not just weekends. They can be during the week, but still looking at kind of how many, like within how far spaced out they are, how many I wanted to shoot to, in order to give everyone the same amount of energy, how much I wanted to earn from that, and saying, okay, well, knowing how much energy it takes from me, what do I need to charge? And then how many do I need, like how many do I want to do? Right, well, okay, this is what I need to charge. And sometimes looking at that number and going, whew, okay, well, that's quite scary, because that's a lot more than what a lot of people charge. And then being okay with that, is also quite hard. So that was one thing of kind of just actually going, okay, well, yeah, this is the number that I want to shoot, and actually sticking with that. With COVID as well, that makes you kind of go, oh, do I need to take more? Because I've then got so many postponements. Having to set your boundaries, I think, as well, being very protective of time. So for me, you know, even before COVID, but and now as well, yeah, knowing where my boundaries are and protecting them. So having my specific working days, my office hours. I have email autoresponders. You possibly have seen it. That says, you know, this is, yeah, you know, and it's very fun. It's very casual, and it just says, like, I check my emails once a day, Monday to Thursday. And if it's urgent, I will get back to you. If it's not urgent, it may take a little longer. The rest of the time, I'm probably out exploring, and you know, the aim is not to be a slave to my inbox, and you know, it's in order to have a healthy relationship with my inbox. I don't have send receive. I just have Gmail, and when I open Gmail, that's when I check my emails. So I don't have notifications coming in. I have things like Facebook. I have the newsfeed eradicator, so I don't see the newsfeed anymore. If I want to know what people are doing, I have to go to their pages. Like, I literally have zero notifications because I have to protect my energy. And I think sometimes the first thing comes to knowing what sucks your energy and what makes you feel bad. I unfollowed so many accounts, like, on social media, or like left groups, because I would just notice that my energy wasn't good when I went into them. Like, if I felt triggered, I was like, this isn't a good space, I need to leave it. Not having that, oh, but I should be in there because maybe a good opportunity will come up. It's like, no, if I don't feel good about the group, I just need to leave it. And also having that, knowing where the boundaries are with your clients as well, and not being afraid to enforce them. Not being afraid to, if you have an email from a client last thing at night, either not responding straight away or saying, you know, if it's one of them having a panic, saying, thank you, I've seen it, I will respond to you on Monday. So that they always know this is where the boundary is. Because otherwise it can be a slippery slope. And if you don't protect your energy and your time, no one else will.
Creating that blend, I guess, it sounds like it's very intentional. You have to do it on purpose, because otherwise it won't happen, right?
Yeah, definitely. Another thing that I do, so I time block in a Google Calendar, and I make sure that I also time block when I'm not working. So, you know, I go in, I mean, the weekend, so for me, Friday to Sunday, my husband only does a 4-day week. So for me, unless I have a wedding, Friday to Sunday is just automatically not working days. So I don't tend to actually block those out in my calendar, but those are intentionally now for me not working. But at the start, I would have to block those out. And like over the winter, for me, some days I kind of like, do you know what? I'm going to go skiing, or go some days when I'm not injured. Before COVID, I would just say, okay, I'm going to go like every couple of weeks down to the climbing gym on a Wednesday morning for a couple of hours. I would go and block that in my calendar, and then it was blocked in the calendar, so that time was then protected. For me, if it's in the calendar, then that time is there, and I can't kind of just go, oh, I'll just do something else. Like, if it's in the calendar, then it's there, it stays. And for me, that was one of the things of making myself prioritize the time. But yeah, you have to make it a habit to prioritize it, and finding ways that you do that.
Otherwise your life runs you if you don't run it. It's just an automatism. Well, that was wonderful. Thank you so much, Kat. Thank you so much for all the value that you brought to this, and all the things that you shared, and your own experience as well.
Yeah, you're welcome. I hope I didn't ramble too much because I did warn you. I can just go off on.
No, this is not off on
rambles.
Absolutely not. This was beautiful. I love a ramble. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I was going to say have a great weekend, but it's just Wednesday.
For me, it's only one more day to the weekend.
Have a good almost weekend then.
Thank
you again. This was really fun and so helpful.
Yeah, thanks.
Brought a lot of value. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're listening to Flow Insider, a podcast for creative entrepreneurs who want a fresh perspective on business, communication, and art.
That was deep, wasn't it? We went there. We spoke about childhood trauma. Well, it was only a matter of time, really, till that would come up on this podcast, wasn't it? Because we're all affected by that one way or another. And I loved digging into this topic a bit more because your business lives out of your energy, your mindset, your heart and soul. So it's so important to keep that mind and soul healthy, to do that inner work so that your outer work can be a success too. It's wild how much our success is connected to what we have been conditioned with early on. So it's well worth unpacking all of that, really. Particularly the work and life blend stuck with me. I had never heard of it before, although I have heard people say that they don't like the term work-life balance, but I have never been offered a real alternative to that, an alternative that takes that pressure off. Seeing your life and work as a fluid blend makes a lot of sense to me, and it feels more natural to do than trying to create a balance. Doesn't it make you feel more at ease to hear the word blend instead of balance? It definitely does that to me. I hope this conversation brought you value and that you could take something inspiring away for yourself and your business. Thank you so much for listening. Subscribe to Flow Insider and have a beautiful day.